Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here is Pastor Jesse Delgado.
So first and foremost, I got the mic, I got the opportunity. I wanted to just appreciate my wife and kids. If you could go ahead, look at that. Aren't they beautiful? Let me just tell you, man, my wife and my kids, man, my greatest gifts. Like, God has been so good through just marriage, through my kids, watching my kids grow, like all that stuff. All you parents know what I'm talking about. You know, it's just really... it's just such a humbling thing. And then, of course, my wife, just the support that I have from her, the friendship, the companionship. And, of course, she's amazingly beautiful. That, obviously, is wonderful as well. So, you know, God is just so good, and I just wanted to take the time to just appreciate them while I had the chance. So, apparently, I'm a pastor now. So, you know... It's going to take some getting used to, for sure. Some people have been like, hey, Pastor Jesse. I'm like, wait. Right? Like, it's definitely going to take some getting used to. But, you know, as I was thinking about it, you know, I was thinking about it in this way. What exactly does a pastor do? Right? And I know that we could say all of these different kind of functions. The pastor does this, pastor does that. You know, but in my experience, I think it's more important, instead of asking what they do, I think it's more important to ask what they are. And the reason why I say that is because what they are, according to the Bible, is simply just shepherds. Okay, Jesus says right there, you see it in John, Jesus says to feed my sheep. Jesus says, if you love me, then feed my sheep. And that's really all a pastor does. He's a chief feeder of the sheep. Not just feeding, but also protector, right? Amen? You got some danger coming your way. Pastor is there to be able to say, hey, watch out for this danger, right? To speak into situations. And so here's kind of the cool thing about it for you guys, okay? For those of you that call Elevate Life Church your home, is that God has now, as a pastor in this house, God has now equipped me with a grace for your life. I want you to catch that for a minute because I'm going to share some things and I'm going to continue to share some things. And of course, many of you have known me, you know, pre-pastor, pastor. And it's not even that the title even matters. It's not even about the title. What it's about is about the function. What's happening now, okay? And so what I just wanted to encourage you with is that God has given me a grace now to speak into your life. Amen? Are we good with that? Are we okay with that? Praise God. Okay. So this is the promise that I'm going to make you for this service. Okay, go ahead and go to that next slide. It says this. This is my promise to you. By the end of the message, this message, you will know exactly how to access everything God has for you and everything you desire. Whoa. That's a big promise. That's a big promise, y'all. But listen to this. As a shepherd, right, pastor, one of my responsibilities is to bring the best meal to the table. Come on, y'all. I'm not giving you leftovers. And what is the best meal? One that's fresh. Come on, y'all. Leftovers are cool. Don't get me wrong. I got my mama right here. You know, praise God for my mama. And she makes some amazing leftovers. But it's nothing. It's nothing in comparison to a fresh meal. So today what I did is I wanted to prepare something for you, a message, a meal, if you will, that is fresh, that is something that I'm currently living and experiencing and receiving revelation myself in my own personal life right now at this very moment. It is fresh. And so that's why I can say this promise. Now, hopefully I deliver on this promise, and if I don't, then you can talk to Pastor Sergio. But I'm not going to stop there, okay? Come on, by now, right? Like, I'm not going to stop there, okay? I'm going to share these things that we will uncover in this message with this promise, okay? We are going to uncover not only all of that, what you can access, we're going to uncover what's stopping you, why it's not your fault, and a biblical response to change the entire situation. So I'm not just going to show it and say, hey, this is the way. I'm also going to show you all of these things from the scripture that will equip you with everything you need to activate it in your life. How many are excited for that? Come on. That's a good thing. Okay, now, I wanted to just share, you've seen the picture of my family. I wanted to share a little bit more about my background for those of you that may haven't known me that long. I'm not going to take too much into this, but I just wanted to share this with you. So I got two kids and beautiful wife. Like I mentioned, there's Jasenia right there with Queen Poppy. That's her little twin right there. And then we got Josiah James, who loves cars and he loves water. And there he is at the beach. And man, I just love those kids. God continually uses them to speak to me and speak. You know, it's just such an amazing thing. And then, of course, my beautiful wife that is just my biggest supporter, biggest helper, and just biggest resource for growing in God. So those are my family for those of you that may not know me. I wanted to show you my story. Look, I got some of these pictures. Check these out. Look at these. Because in First Steps, I was telling people, I always tell people I had the long hair and all that, and they're just like, I can't see it. So I said, I'm going to show you guys. So there I am right there, little guy, repping Raiders. Come on, even since way back, come on. Repping Raiders right there. There I am getting punched in the face by my brother. Okay, you know, there I am thinking I'm cool, smoking a cigarette and doing my little thing because I thought I was cool. There I am as a young boy, and there's me just being me, right? For a long time, I did graffiti. So I was a graffiti artist. And I did graffiti for a long time. Many people don't even know that about me, right? So all of these things, the reason why I wanted to share these things, because you know what? When I look back at my life and I look back at the majority of my life, to be honest with you, like, I wasn't really going anywhere. Like, I didn't even have nothing really inside of me that even really wanted to go anywhere. I was content with just doing what we do. What do? Smoke, kick it, drink, party, girls, just simple stuff, right? I had no ambition or no intuition or anything. I had a certain way that I was and stuff like that. But I was just a regular dude. Just regular dude, okay? Now, let me show you my first car. I just want to show you this because I'm very proud of it. That was my first car right there. 1980 Chevy Malibu. Sitting on some 13-inch Supremes, worked really hard. I was about 17 years old when I had that. When I bought that car, it was my first car. It was like an ugly avocado green when I got it. Come on, took it to Earl Scheib. How many of y'all remember Earl Scheib? Are they even still around? They had the little $300 deal where, you know what I'm saying, where they'll sand it and paint it and everything. And I put my little paint on there and had some 12-inch subwoofers in the back. And you know, I was super proud. That was my first car. That was what I was rolling around in with all that long hair and everything, right? Okay, so that was my life, right? Just regular life, regular dude. Nothing going on. Didn't go to college. None of that stuff. Didn't do anything, right? But then fast forward now to where we are now, and I've been to 12 different nations. Now, yeah, praise God. But here's the thing about it, right? It's literally all around the world. Literally, all around, all those countries, literally, all around the world. So you see that guy there, just sitting there, just not going anywhere in life, just kind of just living, just existing. And then all of a sudden, fast forward, and this opportunity to go to 12 different countries. You know, there I am with my wife in Venice, Italy. You know, we got to ride one of those cool little boats with the dudes with the little striped shirts on and stuff like that, right? And, you know, there I am in India wearing a mask. And this was before COVID even existed because the pollution is so bad that you got to wear a mask. Like, that's smoke. That's not like the image is blown out. That's like smoke. That's how bad the air was over there. There I am praying for kids and prophesying over kids in Malaysia. There I am in Colombia, all of these different places, Jamaica, doing God's work. Things that I never would have even had imagined that I would have been able to do in those earlier pictures. What if somebody would have said, man, one day you're going to do these things, I would have been like, no way. Like that, what? Okay, cool. I'm down, but I don't know how that's possible. I don't know how that's something that I could do. Now let's fast forward a little, another side. That's the ministry side. Here are some pictures where of things that I've been able to do professionally in my life. Been able to shoot a music video with Steph Curry. Come on, how many of you know Steph Curry? Golden State Warriors, right? Huge fan and all of that. Been able to work on documentaries with Cal Fire, some of the largest organizations. There I am with Eric Estrada in the Capitol. Yeah, come on, some of y'all old heads know Eric Estrada. I know when I posted that picture, it was funny. It was like all the older ladies are kind of like, hey, get his autograph, you know. But super cool, super, super cool stuff. Been able to do some huge ceremonies and you know, documentary. There's a documentary that I had part in that was for Discovery Channel. All of these kind of things filmed for senators and congress people and people of authority and all of this kind of stuff. All that dude that you've seen before, just living, just existing. Now, here's the crazy thing about it. I did not go after those things. I didn't say, hey, listen, when I grow up, I want to be a filmmaker. When I grow up, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to work with Eric Estrada. Like, you know, I mean, I only knew the guy from Chips, you know? And you know what's funny about that is when I, you know, like, I always thought, because they would say his name, Eric Estrada, I always thought his name was Erica Estrada. I was like, why this dude named Erica? Like, but it's Eric Estrada. Okay. So the thing about it is that what I wanted to point out with all of that is I didn't go after any of that. I didn't even know that that was a possibility. I was that kid in school when they asked them, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? I never had an answer, ever. Even into like college, hey, what do you want to, you know, I tried to enroll for college and stuff like that. It didn't last, you know, probably because I didn't know what I wanted to do, right? But I enrolled for college, like, okay, you meet with the counselor, it's like, what do you want to do? And it's like, I don't know, you know, I don't know. What makes the most money, you know, or you know? Right? Like, I don't know what I want to do. I had no clue, no direction, no ambition, no intuition, no, none of that. But yet, looking back at some of this, I go, wow, God, how did all of these things happen? How did all of this access happen? There's so many other pictures. There's so many other events. There's so many other scenarios that I've been able to take part of in my life that I'm like, how did that happen? And the only thing that I could say how that happened, okay, of course, God, right? But through God is this process of access. And what I wanted to talk to you about today in my message is access is everything. See, that promise that I made you of what I'm trying to deliver to you today, right? I'm going to, you know, that you'll be able to know and all of the desires and you'll be able to have everything you want. You know what is standing in the way from you and everything you want? Access. That's it. You know what is standing in the way from you and all of the money in that bank down the street? Access. You do not have access. You try to go in there and access money that is not yours, and you will be accessing prison. Come on. That's how it works, right? Is access. Everything that you desire, that you want in your life. Everything. Every last thing all boils down to access. So check this out, right? I've been working on my little fitness journey. Come on, how many of y'all can tell? If you can't, come on, you hating. I see you, David. David tells me, he's like, hey, you looking good. I'm like, thanks, bro. Makes me feel good. But it does, though. It does feel good, right? Like when you start working, you start losing some weight, you start seeing some results, you feel good. I'm going to tell you right now, my shirt's a lot tighter than it normally is. Right? Because I feel good. I'm like, all right, cool, you know? Maybe a little too tight, but You know, you feel good. You feel good when you start accessing things, especially things that you want. You feel good. You feel empowered. But you know what's crazy is I lost about 30 pounds now. It's about 30 pounds that I lost. Praise God. But check this out. Check this out. I lost all of that weight without spending one day in the gym. I didn't spend one day in the gym. I didn't go to the gym at all. Now, here's the crazy thing about it. You know how I would say that I lost that weight? Is I lost that weight through making a decision. And that decision was hard. That decision was my wife's birthday, not eating birthday cake. Come on, y'all. That was like, why was that? I was risking that. That could have been, that was a lot on the line for that. It's my wife's birthday. I'm like, no, can't do it. Right? And then 4th of July. And I got my sister over here getting these, you know, tri-tip tater tots and cheeses. I'm like, oh, man, I'm over here, you know. And continue. But guess what? It was a decision. I decided. Now, what was really cool about this and interesting is that the word decision, the same root word, is found in these other two words, decision, precision, and incision. And it comes from the Latin word to cut, to cut. Now, what I wanted to, the reason why I shared that today is because part of what we need to do is we need to learn how to make cuts in our life. Okay? Now, a decision is different than a choice. Okay? Don't have enough time to get into that, but a decision is different than a choice. A decision requires a cut, a cutting. Okay? And that is going to be very, very important as we continue to unravel this message. So listen to this question, right? Let's ponder this for a moment. Everyone wants access. God says that he gives it all. So why doesn't everyone have it? Think about that for a moment. There's not a person in here that I say, hey, what do you want? You're like this. I go, okay, I'll give you access to it right now. Boom, it'll happen. There's not a person in here that does not want that in some way, some shape, or some form. We all want it. Then we go to the Bible, and the Bible says all of these cool and crazy things about, hey, you're more than a conqueror, you're an overcomer, faith is your reality, you don't have to believe your circumstances, you know, you can have this, you can have that, God gave it all to you, everything is yours, you know, the victory's already won, the devil's already defeated, you know, like all of this kind of stuff. And we're like, cool. Go ahead and back up the slide real quick. So we're like, cool, right? Like this is amazing, this is amazing. But yet, it's not, because we don't really see it in our lives. So it becomes very disconnected, right? How many of you know, let's just be honest here for a minute. How many of you have gone through a hard time, right? Frustrated, something going on, marriage or something really, you know. You go to somebody, and they respond with one of those Bible passages that says that you basically don't need to be feeling that way. And what do you, like, let's just be honest for a moment. What do you feel? You feel like, man, I'm going to somebody else. Because I did not want to hear that. That don't even apply right now, bro. I get it. That's for when I'm feeling good, right? But I ain't living that right now, and that doesn't do me any good, and that's not helpful. So guess what? That's a little irritating. Now, does it change the fact that it's actually true and it's actually still really valid? No. It doesn't change the fact that it's still the truth. The truth is the truth regardless of how you feel. But the problem is, the disconnect is, I don't know how to make that work in my life right now, where I'm at. I don't know how to make that work. It's really, really, and when you don't know how to make something work, come on, y'all, that is very frustrating. Come on. You know what I'm talking about, trying to put some IKEA furniture together or something, right? Or whatever. Or instructions, you know what I mean? That are in another language that you don't like. You're like, what? You know, or using different words or terminology that you can't understand. It's very, very frustrating to be able to try to make those kind of things work in your life. So what I'm going to share with you is I'm going to share with you what the Bible says about that. Now, this to me is by far one of the most profound processes, if you will, because we all like processes. This is one of the most profound ways that we can actually understand how to get these things into our life and actually work in order with them. that it's not necessarily that these things are not working. It's that maybe we're working them wrong. Right? Maybe we're going about it backwards. How many know that if you could have all of the steps, but if you don't follow them in order, it is not going to produce the end result? You can get as mad as you want, but it's not going to work. Now, we know according to God and what we know and find about his character that God is a God of order. Amen? God has a way of doing things. And when we try to say, hey, God, I came up with a better way of doing things, it doesn't work. Because he's like, no, you didn't. I'll let you go ahead and try it so you can find out that it doesn't work. I've already figured this thing out, man. I made the thing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to hold nothing from you. I'm trying to tell you how this thing works. So in order to do this, this principle is so powerful and so foundational that it was actually woven into the very fabric of every single thing that exists. That's how powerful it is. This is what holds the universe together. This is what holds everything that we live in, operate in. This is what holds it all together. And it is found in Genesis chapter 1. Come on, y'all. This is so important and so interwoven into the fabric of everything that he did. It's beginning book, first chapter, you know, right there. Boom. It is literally in the beginning. And it says this: be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. So we're just going to hang on that slide for a minute. Now, you might be asking, okay, well, what's the big deal with that? So the first big deal about that, this is the very first command that God gave to man. This is the very first thing that God told man to do, right? Now, in biblical hermeneutics, which is basically a way of interpreting scripture, it's a process of rules, it's, you know, these smart guys got together, but there's a law that is common in understanding and reading the scripture. And this law is called the law of first mention. And what this law basically says is this: whenever something is first mentioned in the Bible, that is where it is most pure, if you will, easy to understand, and simple in form. Later on, it starts getting a little more complicated, right? He starts adding more to it. It starts being more like, you know, do it in this season, but not in this season. It starts getting a little bit more unpacked. But in the very beginning, when something is first mentioned, there is a simplicity to it that is very easy for us to grab an understanding from. So with this understanding of being fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, the very first commandment, this is the very first time that we see God give a commandment or an instruction to mankind, we can see an incredibly lot. The first thing that we see is the very first thing that God told man is to be something. To be something. The very next thing he said is, from out of that being, you will then do something. And out of that doing something, you will then have something. Now, see, where we get it really, really twisted, we go the reverse order. We want to have something. And then we will say, okay, well, you know, I want to have this, right? And then I will do whatever I need to do to have that. And then when I get to where I need to get to, then I will be who I need to be in order to, you know, make it all good. See, we're approaching this the way that God is telling us to live in this life backwards. And this is the reason why many of us, including myself, are not seeing the things that God is telling us that we could see. Because we're out of order. See, the interesting thing is this. He tells us first to be fruitful, right? And multiply. Now, I'm going to break that down a little bit more, but it's more than what you think. Many of us think that is simply just talking about procreation. just reproduce. Okay? How many know that whenever God speaks about something, even if there's a physical application to it, there's always a spiritual application? There's always a spiritual application to it. He never just says, hey, just do that. It's all physical stuff, you know. No, because God is a spirit. He communicates through the spirit. There's a spiritual application to this that I have not really heard a lot of people speak about. Very, very few, actually. Most will just say, hey, that was the commandment God gave, and you're supposed to just fill the earth because there wasn't a lot of people around. Basically, God needed your help in order to, you know, populate this earth. Now, yes, there was a part of that, for sure. There was a part of that. He was trying to, but let me just tell you this. There's a whole nother part of that that we completely miss. All of those three parts. So then we do that. We multiply, and then it tells us that we can have something. See, he tells us, be fruitful, multiply, and then you will have dominion over the entire earth, right? He doesn't say, hey, go out and try to get dominion. Hey, go out there. You need to get dominion, Adam. So you better go out there and start training them birds and all of that stuff how to obey you. No. He says that your dominion will be a byproduct of your being. Your dominion will be a byproduct of your being. And through your being, you will then multiply. This is the result that we can see in our lives of us actually becoming the person that we need to become. We will see a process of multiplication in this way. Now, you might be saying, okay, that's cool, Jess. I might be saying this if I was sitting there. I might say, okay, that's cool. But I don't know if I'm really all the way convinced on that. I don't really know. Maybe he didn't mean it that way. Maybe Genesis 1:28 is not really saying that, what you're saying. Okay, fair enough. So where do we see this? Where do we see this phrase happening? When's the next time we see this phrase happening? The next time we see this is not too far down the road in Genesis chapter 9. And in Genesis chapter 9, we have the story of where man just started wilding out, getting all crazy, right? And God flooded the earth, right? Basically, it was a reset, right? Everybody flooded the earth. He said, man, I'm going to start this thing over. And look at this very interesting commandment that he gives now speaking to Noah. He says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Check this out now. God establishes this order in the world. He puts man in a garden, and he gives him a commandment. Man messes up. God says, I'm going to start this thing over. But he doesn't change his process in the way that he built everything. He starts it over again. So then Noah comes along, and he goes, I'm going to use this guy to start this thing over again, but I'm not changing the way I do things. The way I do things is the way that this whole thing was built. So guess what? Now that you landed, now that you're on earth, here's your first commandment. It's the same thing as the last guy's. I want you and your sons to be fruitful and multiply. Might I submit to you today that there is more in this passage, in this commandment, than simply just filling the earth with more physical bodies? Like, there's more to this passage that we as his followers can get out of this than just, hey, that was for them. We got way more than enough people now. So, you know, I guess we're good. I guess it's okay. There's way more to it than that. So the big question becomes, okay, great. How do we become? How do we become? That's a great question. That's a great question because it's one that actually is going to be opposite of everything that we've been taught. Because remember, the world is not teaching become, then out of your becoming do something, and then out of that doing have something. They're teaching the opposite. So every system, every instruction, every manual, everything that we have to learn from is teaching the exact opposite. So now it becomes incredibly hard for us to know, well, man, how do you become? Okay, cool, I'm with you on that. Okay, I want to learn that. But how exactly do I become? Now, I wanted to show you something here. Go back to the next slide. Go back, don't go there. Don't give it away. So here I have a penny, Okay? Here I have a penny in my hand. And it's a trick question. You already know that. Okay? But I'm going to do it anyways. How many of you, if I said, hey, I will give you this penny, but it will come with a principle, and that principle is I will double its amount every day for 30 days. So it goes one penny, then two pennies, four pennies, eight pennies, 16 pennies, right? And so on for 30 days. I will give you this penny. Or I will give you $1 billion cash right now. You could have one or the other, a penny doubled every day for 30 days or $1 million cash. How many of y'all would take $1 million cash? Like, let's just be honest, okay? Except for you math wizards or people that don't want to raise your hand because you know it's a trick question. I would say I'll take the $1 million right now. Let's go. But here's the interesting thing. A penny doubled every day for 30 days, go ahead and go to the next slide, is $5.3 million. 30 days. Why? It's the principle that's attached to it. The principle that is attached to it is what makes this penny, catch me, become way more, five times more than $1 million. This is a physical representation of what becoming looks like. See the multiplication in there? See the becoming? See what you can now have, what kind of dominion you could have with that kind of principle? How many lives could change with $5.3 million? Come on. We have a whole lot of dominion over here. We have some Louis Vuitton dominion. We have, come on, right? Get a financial advisor first. But you know what I'm saying? We'd have a whole lot of dominion with that. Because why? Because there was a principle that was attached to that penny, a principle of multiplication. Now, what's interesting about this graph is that look at that penny. That penny don't actually start taking off until around day 24. Day 23, you know, day 24. So you don't actually start to see any of that cool stuff until almost the end of that 30 days. See, that's what becoming does. Becoming says that I'm more committed to the process that I know that will happen if I stay faithful than the immediate result that I could get right here and right now. Now, here's the thing, right? Many of us, we simply just don't believe in the process. We don't believe that this thing is actually, like, if you didn't know the rules of math and I told you that this would happen, probably by around day seven, you know what I mean? You'd be like, hey, whoa, you said, and I got 64 cents right now. And this dude's over here got $1 million. I do not understand how this is going to make me any better than him. Then day 14 comes around. Bro, this is 2 weeks now. This is 2 weeks and I got $81. How is this thing going to work? How is this possible? And so on and so on and so on. And it doesn't actually start taking off until that 25-day mark or so. See, that's the crazy thing about it. Is that becoming, the first thing that we have to understand about becoming is that there's two components that are involved with that becoming. The first is consistency, the second is time. With consistency and time, that will equal transformation. Through consistency and time, see, some of you guys, including myself, you're just not letting the word work long enough. You're just not letting it work. It's going to work. Listen, the Bible says that all work works. It says that in Proverbs, that all work is profitable. But listen, there's two different types of work. There's the work that you want it to do and the work that it's doing on you. See, it's two different types of work. And we're looking like, man, how is this thing not working for me? It's not working for me. No, it's working on you. All work works. You're doing hard work, you're showing up to Bible study, you're reading the Bible, you're praying, you're encouraging somebody, you're managing your emotions, you're making sure that you don't get mad, you're blessing those who curse you, you're doing all of this stuff. Listen, it's working. It's working. It's just working on you. And when it works on you, what that does is it opens up access. it opens up. See, all of those pictures and things, okay, was able to do this. Yeah, but you guys don't see all of the work that was happening on myself. You don't see all of the friends that I lost. You don't see all of the depression because I couldn't find people that were around my area that looked like me, talked like me, and wanted to do things like me that loved God. I was lonely. I was all of this kind of stuff. You know, my wife and my kids, the work, there's another work that you guys just don't see. There's a hardship. There's an endurance. There's a growing. There's a maturing. There's a pruning. It's hard work, right? It's consistency and time. And so that's the idea that I wanted to kind of ingrain in you with this understanding of becoming, okay? Let's go to the next one. The multiplication that is happening is actually happening internally and producing an external result. So when God says be fruitful and multiply, what he's telling you is he's telling you first to become something, and then from that becoming something, you will actually multiply what's inside of you. See, the physical was for the physical. You're going to multiply the earth. There's going to be a lot of people, okay? But the spiritual is actually the multiplication that is going to happen inside of you. You are going to expand as a person. You are going to multiply. You are going to impact. You are going to affect the lives of many, 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 many other people through that multiplication of becoming that person that you need to become. And that's hard to see. That's hard for us to, like, quantify. Is this thing working or not? How do you quantify the impact that you're making? Because you know what the crazy thing about it is? Many people will never even tell you the impact that you had on their life. That's why we go to funerals and we hear about it and we're like, whoa, dang, that's crazy. Because usually the impact that you have on other people's lives, it's not because they don't want to share it or nothing. It's just because they needed that and they got what they needed to get where they were trying to go. You know, you provided them with something and they just got it and, you know. So the idea, though, is this. You don't really understand what's being multiplied internally, but it's happening. All work works. Yeah. This principle of becoming and then multiplying and then having. Okay, let's go to the next slide here. This is a scripture. Okay, let's get into some word. The person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaves does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Okay, very interesting. We're talking about trees, we're talking about people being planted, and we're talking about people bearing fruit. What did God tell us? To be fruitful. The language is connecting, right? Then we see this other thing. Whatever they do prospers. Sounds a lot like having dominion to me. Sounds a lot like having authority to me. Sounds a lot like having something, right? See, it's the same language, and you will find it all throughout the scripture. Why? Because it's the very first foundational thing that he told us to do. It's all throughout scripture, and I'm going to show you a bunch more. But here's the thing with that, right? Is we see whatever they do prospers. What is that? Once again, that's access. Access. Whatever they do prospers. Check this next one out. Galatians 5:22. Let's go to the New Testament. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. It's interesting. We know all of the other parts, right? Fruit, joy, you know, other. First of all, once again, here we see that language again. The fruit of the Spirit. What did he tell us to do? To be fruitful, right? Then what do we see? This little thing at the end that we could just so quickly just overlook. He tells us against such things there is no law. How is there something that there is no, that against those things there is no law? Isn't the law what you're established and told us to do? Think about that for a minute. How is God saying that there's something that is actually, if against it, there is no law? That almost seems to contradict what he told us when he told us to follow his law. But it's not. The reason why he's saying that against such things there is no law is because there's a law that existed before that. And it's a law that existed from which all laws come from. So every single law that came after that actually came from the first one. So he's saying, listen, if you take away the first one, then you ain't got none of them. That's why he can say that against such things there is no law, because these are the very things that were interwoven to the very foundation. Before there was a law, this was the law. This was the commandment. When we say the law, usually it's referring to the law of Moses, when he got the Ten Commandments and things like that, the Mosaic law, okay? So we know that he established that law, but against such things there is no law. Check this next one out, John 15. And I appointed you, now this is Jesus saying this, now I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will remain. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. How many of y'all have read that and had a hard time with that one before? Anybody? I have. I remember asking Pastor Sergio about it one time. I'd ask different people about it. I had a hard time with that because I'm like, whatever you ask, how is that even possible? Like, whatever you, like, what? You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. There's got to be, we're all, you know, your mind goes to some crazy places. Okay, Rolls Royce. You know what I mean? Like, you start $1 million, you know? Right? Like, how is that possible? It's possible in this way. It's possible because of, once again, the way that everything was established, the way that he established everything by becoming something. You will then, out of that activity, you will then begin to multiply and do that thing. And then from that, there's nothing that is off limits or inaccessible to you. That's how everything is accessible to you. Is it's actually through the process of becoming. Listen, there are things, you don't want everything. You don't want everything. You don't want what I want, what they want, what your neighbor want. You want your things. We all have different things. So it's not like, hey, we just want it all. No, actually, we just want a very few things. Some desires we have, some desires we don't. That's like, oh, that's your desire. That's cool, but that's not mine. I don't want that. I don't even want that. You can have it, right? The thing about it is this, is that he's going to, whatever you ask is going to be something that you want. Whatever you want is going to come from something that he placed inside of you. There's a reason why you have those things, right? Provided they're godly things. Come on. Right? There's a reason why you have that desire to help those people in that way. Because God put that inside you. So why would he not give you what you ask for? He will. But the problem is we're not becoming the person that we need to become. You're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. You're focused on doing, and this is the reason why you don't have access in some of these areas. It is not a process of doing, it is a process of becoming. Look at this next scripture, we'll throw some more on there. It says this in Proverbs 24, complete your outdoor work and prepare your field. After that, you may build your house. Many of us are trying to build our house first. Now, what is he talking about? Let's go back to the language again. Complete your outdoor work and prepare your fields. What are fields? They produce harvests. What are harvests? Fruits. He's saying this. Be fruitful first, and then you can build your house. That's what he's telling us. Hey, be fruitful first, and then you can prepare your house. But we're doing it backwards. And that's why many of us are frustrated. That's why many of us are having a hard time. We're struggling in our relationships, our marriages, dealing with our kids, dealing with certain things, hearing the Bible, praying, reading. All of these kind of things are all connected. So let's talk a little bit about becoming, okay? Becoming, the first thing is thinking. Thinking is how we start to become, okay? Thinking is a process of becoming. As a man thinketh, so he is. In Proverbs, it says right there, anticipation. This is another way of becoming, is anticipating and preparing for that which God has for you or he's calling to you. The next one is perception. This one is really overlooked and hard to understand, but listen to what it means. The state of becoming or process of becoming aware of something through senses, okay? The dictionary says senses, but we know this and understand this to be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals things to us. Check this passage out. This is a passage that shows what perceiving looks like. In Proverbs, it says, I went past the field of a slacker and by the vineyard of a man lacking judgment. Thorns had grown up everywhere. Thistles had covered the ground and the stone wall was broken down. I observed and took it to heart. I looked and received instruction. That is perception. You can perceive your circumstances, your situations to be one way, or you can perceive them another way. I'll actually say that the perception is actually just the one way. You could look at your circumstances or situation, or you could perceive them with the heart of understanding and instruction. The system of the world teaches us to have without becoming. They try to create every single way except God's way. They're trying to give us a line of credit. They're trying to give us, you know, a blue check mark on our name. They're trying to give us all of these different things. And the whole message is this: you can have it all. And you don't even have to become it. No. You can have it all, and you don't even have to become it. How great and amazing is that? It's actually horrible, and that's why I say that it's not your fault, but it is your decision. It is your decision to decide what you're going to cut off and what you're going to leave. You have to decide. If I can get you, Charles. So let me ask you this. Okay, we went through all of these things. What is stopping you? What is stopping you? Now, I really want to end on this because I want to bring this home. Listen, there are things that are stopping you from this process. It's not just simply to know it, right? Okay, now I know it. I got to become something. Okay, I got a little understanding of what becoming something looks like. That's not enough. We have to identify these areas in our life that are stopping us. Because there are things, there are systems, there are mentalities that are getting in the way of you becoming. Because listen to this. If God created this system, right, this order, in order to have dominion over everything, and might I submit to you that the dominion that you're having when you start becoming is not just over the physical things, but is over the internal things? Come on. Is over those negative self-talk? Is over that feeling that somebody spoke to you, that word that somebody spoke to you when you were little, that you just can't seem to shake? That feeling that you feel like, come on, y'all, I know I can't be the only one, that you feel like there's just something in life that is just working against you? That you're just like, man, I don't know why, but I keep on trying. I keep on time and time again, and it's just not happening. Like there's something that is conspiring against me. There's something that I don't know that is holding me back. I'm trying. I'm giving my effort. I've waited some time. Everything you said, Jess, I've tried to do that. I've tried to do it. I did that for years, and it didn't happen. I didn't see the result. Might I submit to you that that dominion in the spiritual aspect is actually referring to dominion over yourself. Now, hear me now. Listen, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of programs that we have that are running behind the scenes. A lot of thoughts, a lot of feelings, a lot of experience, a lot of trauma. A lot of things that are so deep down inside of us that we just don't even know even how to dig those things up, how to even get healing or how to access those things. They're so deep and they're so ingrained, but yet they're pulling the levers to our life. Everything that we're doing is coming out of that hurt, that fear, that insecurity, that worry, that concern, that thing that we were told, that thing that we don't want to happen. Come on. That thing that we said we'll never become, that is moving those levers. We're so worried about not becoming like our father was, like our mother was, that we're allowing those things to drive and pull the levers to our lives. We're so worried about what we don't want our marriage to look like that we're allowing that worry to drive the levers of our life. We're so worried about this thing not happening. I just don't want my kids to go down this route. And because I'm so worried about that and I'm so focused on that, those things are driving the levers of my life. They're influencing everything that I do, everything that I think, and everything that I could possibly receive from God. God's trying to access things, give us access to things, and it's incredibly difficult for us to believe them. It's incredibly hard for us to get that understanding, like, God, you for real? Like, I know that works for most of your other kids, but I'm a different one. Come on, how many of y'all felt like that? I'm a little different, God. I've done a little bit different things, and you know, I'm probably on this list over here that doesn't have that access. But let me tell you this, what I believe is one of the biggest things stopping you, and this is gonna be a little harsh, but like how Sergio says, I gotta hurt you to help you. And this is something I'm saying to myself. This is all one of the biggest things that is stopping you is you're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself. You're not becoming the person that you say that you are. Now listen, hear me now, because I know that hurts and it's like, hey, why would you say that? It's jacked up. It's not. And here's the reason why I want to say that is because when we don't become the person that we say that we're becoming, we lose confidence in ourselves. We lose confidence and respect for ourselves. We don't trust ourselves to even make those declarations Pastor Sergio says, hey, confess and believe. We're like, man, I can't confess that because I don't believe, because I'm not even becoming that person. Might I submit to you today that one of the biggest things that is standing in your way is the lies that we tell ourselves.